Welcome to Vision Sundays, and again, if you snuck in here and you was looking for a normal church, you'll have to come back in the weeks ahead, but today's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to minister, preach, and because that's the way I convey vision. That's how God uses me, and so over the next several weeks, we're going to be sharing vision and direction for this new season of ministry here at Celebration. In all reality, if you've been coming, all last year I actually been preaching vision and direction. If you've been coming, we really just had one message last year, and if you forgot about it, I want to remind you, it's make no little plans here. Preached it all year long. Some of you didn't even know that. Make no little plans here. So today what we're going to do is we're going to begin to share some of those next steps into those plans. But before I do that, I want to make sure that when we talk about vision, we understand what we're talking about. Because when we talk about vision, we're talking about Bible vision. We're not talking about something that you or I dream up. We're not talking about a corporate business plan, a game plan. We're not talking about creative strategies or even good ideas. These are all important and are necessary in the assisting of a God vision or a Bible vision, but it's not what the Bible actually calls a vision. The Bible doesn't say build your life on a worldly vision. It says build your life on a godly vision. So this isn't just about the church that we're talking about today. We're talking about your life. We're talking about your family. We're talking about your home, how to build a godly vision in your life. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to read out the King James Version. Is it okay if we use the Bible today? It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. There is no vision. Notice it doesn't say where there is no money. It doesn't say where there is no resources. It doesn't say where there is no talent. It says where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to read some other translations that will help us really define what the Bible defines as vision. The Passion Translation says it this way, when there is no clear prophetic vision. Now, the word prophetic in Scripture just simply means a godly utterance, inspired godly utterance. When you hear the word prophetic, it means inspired godly utterance. So the Passion Translation says, where there is no godly utterance, people quickly wander astray. We're going to figure out why people are wandering astray. The Message Translation says it like this. If you can't see what God is doing, notice how it translates vision. They stumble all over themselves. We just found out some of y'all's problem. The Living Version says it this way, where there is no understanding of the Word. Uh-oh. That's how it translates vision. It's not a business plan. It's not an idea. It's not a strategy. When there's no understanding of the word of the Lord, the people do whatever they want to do. Now we're really beginning to understand why people do what they do. Notice the NIRV translation. It says, where there is no message from God, people don't control themselves. You want discipline in your life? You want to be able to say no to the wrong stuff and yes to the right stuff? It's not willpower. It's called vision. Where there's no message from God, people don't control themselves. Here's a definition of vision. Vision is simply a revealed word from the Lord. A vision is an encounter with a word from God that inspires you, that reveals to you clarity and purpose. A vision is God giving you the understanding of what to do and where to go. A vision is what God shows you. Vision is not what you dream up, it's what God is declaring. Did you hear that? That's powerful, powerful definition. A vision is not what you dream up. A vision is what God is declaring. And what's interesting, as the Bible says, if you don't have this in your life, you perish. Now, that seems drastic, right? I mean, we think of perish as drop dead, you're out of here, right? Well, I don't think that's what it means. I mean, you kind of like be in a grocery store, you know, and the guy just kills over dead, and, well, what happened to him? No vision, you know? Hey, bummer, huh? No, that's not what this means, the word perish. It just simply means that they lose their sense of direction. When you don't have a vision for your life and for your family and for your home, and a church doesn't have a vision for what it's called to do, what it means is you just don't have a sense of direction. You just kind of lose your sense of focus. You aimlessly wander around, you stumble around, you bounce around. You become uncontrolled and unrestrained. You hear what I'm saying? It'll help you in these areas. That's the reason why we do some of the stupid things we do. It's the reason why we can't find the restraint. Because it has to have a vision. And it's a word of God operating in your life that'll get you out of bed and get you on course. The word perish means to be unproductive. So with no vision, there's no focus, there's no direction. But with a God vision, you have focus, you have direction, you have, hello, focus in your life. So a vision is not something we dream up, but a vision is what God is saying. It's what God is directing us to do. And when you have it in your life and you give your life to it, and you focus your faith on it, then amazing supernatural God things happen in your life. We all need one. We need one for every aspect of our lives. We need it for our families. We need it for our relationships. It's the key. It's absolutely the key to living a productive life. You need a vision for your health. It'll get you to the gym. Get you eating right. You need a vision for your resources. It'll get you budgeting. It'll help you not to overspend. Welcome to Vision Sundays. But we also need a vision as a church, as a community of believers that have been called to this valley. And in just a moment, we're going to be sharing some practical things for this church, some short-term strategies, and then our plans, and then we're going to talk about some long-term objectives that I believe God is speaking to us. Now, again, for most of a year, we've been saying that changes were coming to Celebration, and specifically as it pertains to these facilities. Because our desire was to position ourselves, or to begin to position ourselves, to a place of our own, a place that we would call home, to build a ministry for the generations to come, to reach more people in our valley, and to be an effective church and ministry that God has called us to be. And I'm here today to tell you that these changes are upon us. So knowing that this day was coming, and we'll get to that at the end. So if you want to really hear the juicy stuff, you gotta endure. Knowing that this day was going to come, knowing the importance of a God vision, it's kind of how I operate my life. I'm not good if I don't hear from God. I'm just not. You give me a word, I'm good. Give me a word to go to the northwest side of Fresno and start a church, and we can do that. Hey, pastor, what about this? Or why don't you try that? Or why don't you do this? Or let's get a committee together and vote. Count me out. I'm not really into all of that. But Ben, if I can hear God, I can give my life. Come on, can I get a witness in here? So I've been seeking God concerning some wisdom and vision for these moves for right at a year now. And I've asked God 1,000 times over, God, what do I do? And what do I tell the people? For those that don't know, we've been doing this for 32 years in this city. 32 years. And man, have we seen some great stuff, and I don't want to get into all of that. And just to remind you, we'll be talking about this kind of stuff over the next couple weeks. But we have seen some tremendous impact and lives that have been changed through those years, and a lot of changes in our ministry. God, what do I do? I've never been here this way before, 32 years in, and now what, Lord? Now what, Lord? Lord, what do we tell the people? God, I know I have some strategies, I have game plans, and I can dream up some things, but God, I'm smarter than that. I need your help. And about a month ago, as it's happened so regularly since COVID, in the middle of the night, my head was screaming out once again, God, what in the world do I tell the people? Like, God, I need help. I don't know if I'm sleeping, dreaming, or I'm awake. My head is just again screaming out. Now, I know a lot of you are excited, but you don't have to be me. You don't have to tell the people. You don't have to lead the people. You don't have to say, hey, I think this is what God is saying. God, what do I tell the people? Because if I can get a vision, if I can get a God perspective, if I can get some direction, I'm good. I can do that. I'll fight anybody in that ring. I'll take you on right now. God, what do I tell the people? And it was in that moment, coming out of a dream, coming out of sleep, somehow, some way, I just knew and sensed God was speaking to me. I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm just talking about that authoritative voice in your spirit, coming up out of your spirit, man, right up into your thinking and your mind. I heard God speaking to me, tell them, this is new. Tell them, this is new. You didn't hear me. I heard it right up out of the heart, my human spirit, God speaking to me. Tell the people. Tell them that this is new. I just kept hearing it over and over and over. And then God spoke to me, and he went on to say, tell them to all the questions. Tell them to all the whys. Just tell them the answer. This is new. This is new. So what in the world is going on at Celebration? What are you guys all doing up over there at Celebration? Oh, you didn't hear? This is new. Yeah, but why would you guys do it that way? Oh, you didn't hear? You must have not heard or gotten the memo. This is new. Yeah, but why would you go there? You must not have been in that service. In fact, we haven't seen you since COVID. But let me help you out. It's really simple. The answer to every why, the answer to every question is this is new. Oh, but we've never done it that way before. The dying church, we've never done it that way before. Oh, you didn't hear? This is new. This is new is a vision word. It's not something I've created. It's not an idea I've come up with. I believe it's straight from the throne room of heaven, from God. It is a vision. A vision is not a game plan. A vision is a spoken utterance from heaven that you can base your life on. This is new. I'm here to tell you, and it's going to take me a couple weeks to get you going into it. I've already had many weeks just thinking about this, pondering this. God, how do I communicate this? But I'm here to tell you, this is new. This is new. Has God all over it? Has God all over it? Answers every question. Answers every why. Anything that you hear from God, for it to truly be God, it has to line up with the Word of God. And that's the reason why then God directed me and reminded me to Isaiah. And I want to talk a little bit from this because I think this is going to help you to really grab a hold of this vision from God. This is new. Now make no mistakes about it. This isn't just about this church. This is about you. This is about your life. This is about the business you're building. This is about the job you're working out. Come on, this is bigger than just what the church is doing, because you're the church going into business. You're the church going into every part and every avenue. This is not just some strategy that we're coming up with so that we can just relocate a church. No. This is what's going to improve your life. You need to quit messing around with the naysayers, and when they start challenging you, why are you doing it that way? Now we've never done it. You just say, no, you don't understand. God is doing something new in my, this is new. In fact, I've been instructed from heaven in my life to not say much more than that when people ask. This is new. There's nothing else to say. Just nothing else to say. It runs every devil off, every demon off, naysayers off. Let me show you where this is in the Bible and where God directed me. In Isaiah 43, verse 18, it says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth." Now it shall spring forth. "Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, this word wilderness, and we're going to be parking here in the next couple of weeks, so we got a lot of teaching to do here, so I'm just going to try to skim over some things, but you need to understand the word wilderness and desert here are interchangeable. They're the same word. It's from the same Hebrew word. They mean the same thing. It's you know, here we think of desert differently than wilderness, but there in Bible day, it was all the same thing. It looked really more like a desert for us. So according to this, in Isaiah 43, God is saying, "I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing." Now, one of the greatest definitions of new in the Bible is this: something that is better than before. So when God says, "I'm doing something new," God is saying, "I'm doing something that is better than before." My. When God shows up in your finances, and he says, "I'm going to do something new," he says, "I'm doing something better than before." When he shows up in your marriage and in your relationship and in your occupation and in your job, and he says, "I'm doing something new," what God is really doing, just translate it, he's just doing something better than before. "I'm doing something new." Let me read this out of different translations because I think it's going to help us. The Good News Bible says, "But the Lord says, do not cling to the events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. I'll make a road and a road through." Now notice that, a road through the wilderness. You're going through the wilderness. You're not going to park in the wilderness. It's not going to be those 40 years of just camping in the wilderness. And then I'm going to give you streams of water there. I'm doing a new thing, God says. I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing something new. Now, the truth of the matter is, God is always doing a new thing. It's His character. It's His nature. It's who God is. God is always... Now, pay attention to this, because this is tough for us. This is uncomfortable a lot of times for us. But the nature of God is that He's always doing something new. In fact, at the end of the Bible, one of my favorite verses, He closes up the whole Bible by saying, "Behold, I make all things new." So not only, and just hold that verse up there for a moment, and I think there's a whole message on this, but I want to just throw this out for you. Not only does God do new things, but He also takes all things. You didn't hear me. Not only will God make new things, but He'll also take all things. He'll take messed up things. He'll take old things. He'll take frustrated things. God can take all things, and by the time God gets done with them, oh my goodness, it's just like new. He can take a messed up marriage, come on, and by the time He gets done with it, He'll take a stagnant, messed up church, and by the time He gets done with, hey, come on somebody. Anybody gonna help me preach today? God not only makes new things, but He'll take messed up things, He'll take old things, He'll take everything in your life, and by the time He gets done with it, you won't even recognize it. It'll be a new thing in your life. This is new. It's how God operates. In fact, if you understand the Bible, we understand that God is always expanding. In fact, this universe that He created is always expanding. Any scientists in the room? Thank goodness, because I'm not. But this universe, they tell us, is expanding. They tell us that it's growing at 186 miles per second. And we understand it all started that when God said, "Let there be light," however long ago that was, the universe just keeps growing and growing and new and new. They can't even keep up with it. It's just expanding at 186 miles per second. Just new. God is an ever-expanding God, and there's always something new happening. In God, there's always something new. God's always making something new. So when God says, "I'm doing a new thing in our lives," it shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't startle us. It shouldn't catch us off guard. And for most of us, when we hear that God's doing a new thing, we say, "Okay, I'm good with that. Give me something new. I'm ready for some change." Anybody ready for some change? Yeah. I'm ready for new. We even get churchy about it, right? Come on, God, send the new stuff, right? God, come and do what only You can do. And glory to God, it's going to be something new. Do something new. And this all preaches really good. People get excited. They shout. They cheer. They clap. Right? And it's all good. It's all really good until God does something new. We like it. We like the thought about it. It kind of seems a little romantic. Until the new actually shows up. And then usually what happens with people, we go, oh crap. Oh no. I don't want that, Lord. That's not the new I'm really looking for. Lord, I don't like this. And the reason why we don't like it is because it's new. It's new. It's different. It's something out of the norm. It's not routine. We get excited about the new until there's something actually new. Is that not the truth, huh? Right? We get excited about change until we have to change. Come on, I'm helping somebody. It happens all the time in my life. You know, this might surprise you, but I'm not a real, apparently, I thought I was, and this is the problem with most of us. We think we are. Oh, I can handle change. Oh, really? Yeah, really. And I realize that I kind of get stuck in my, you know, a guy wrote a book, Who Moved My Cheese? I don't know if you ever read that book, but just leave my cheese alone. I don't mess with my cheese, you know, it's just like, don't move my cheese. But my wife is really good. Like, I mean, like every time I get in the shower, it's like a different shampoo. It's like, really? Can't we just stick with the same one? It works, baby. But for some reason, she never buys the same shampoo ever. And I'm thinking, where is the one that worked? Where was the one that really smelled good? Where did you? And I guess she goes in the store, and it's like, if it looks good and it says it's new and the bottle looks crazy, she's bringing it home. But it doesn't stop in the shower. No. It crosses over into our meals at night. Oh, how I love spaghetti. Oh, dear Jesus, give me some spaghetti. And it never fails. We get the spaghetti, the sauce. It's been handed down from generations. It's handed down from her mom, and it still comes from a bottle. Anyhow. So, but I've been trained on it. It's like when I was dating Cherie, it was like, this is the spaghetti. Oh, it was so good. It's just wonderful. It's just. And she won't say a thing, and she'll be in there cooking. Baby, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? Oh, we're going to have your spaghetti. And we'll pray over our meal, and we always pray over our meal because she knows I'm nicer if I pray. And then I'll start eating my spaghetti and find out, like, what the heck? Baby, can't we just stick with what we always use? Do we have to change the sauce every single time? I really like you. We like change until change affects us. Very first thing, and probably why God mentions it here, I'm going to give you two things here today to think about when it comes to God doing a new thing. Is the first thing that God wants to talk about when he begins to do a new thing is that in order for you to experience the new thing, you're going to have to forget some things. And to be real specific about it, God's talking about the things and the way they were, the way things have always been, the spaghetti sauce that you have really become accustomed to. In fact, let's read some of these verses just one more time. The Good News Translation says it this way, but the Lord says, do not cling to the events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. New Living Translation says, forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Wow. The Message Translation says, forget about what's happened. This is going to help us. But don't keep going over old history. God's not looking for you to have an A in history. He wants you to flunk it. He wants you to move forward. Be alert. Be present. Be in what I'm doing. I'm expanding. I'm growing. I'm doing something. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? God's telling them, don't cling, don't dwell the way things were. Because if you dwell on the way things were, it'll keep you from the things God has for you. And oh, how that passed. Oh, it gets a hold of you and has a death grip on you. You're more like God than you think when you are always expanding and growing and moving. We as individuals have a way to get, we just have a tendency to get stuck. We marry our wives and we bag her and we stuff her and we put her on our wall and we go on to the next thing. We got her. talking to husbands. We got her. But we're not growing. We're not expanding. We're not cultivating that relationship. We're not discovering the new. We got her. I'm going to go on to the next thing. And here's the point. You can't have new things if you're living your life in past things. So we'll talk about that more in the weeks ahead. You got to let go of past things because they just grab a hold of you and hang on. But this is what I really want you to see here today. The second thing is that God wants to talk about, if you're going to experience new things, this is new. This what's our vision? This is new. How is that going to come alive? How are we going to experience that in life? We're going to have to let go. We're going to have to let go of the way things have always been. Now you think I'm talking about the church, but listen, I'm a pastor. I'm really talking about you and your life. If you're going to experience the new things in your finances, the new things in your health, the new things in your relationship, you're going to have to quit clinging to your old spaghetti sauce. Then the second thing, you'd be surprised what kind of, I don't know why I keep going back to marriages. Maybe because Andrew is over here and he needs some counseling today. But you'd be surprised how good your marriage could get if you would just quit treating her like old spaghetti sauce. Hallelujah. Wish I could get an amen. How about over here? Any amens over here? Come on. Come on. Come on, wives. Come on. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked what a husband he could become if you just shock him with some new stuff. Come on, instead of that flannel stuff, just. See, I got to be careful. I want to go there, but we got a lot to cover today. Got a lot to cover today. I'm telling you, wife, you'd be shocked what your husband could become and would be if you just try something new like it's called honor. Just honor. Just respect. Just treat him like he's an individual. Honor him. Value him. Welcome to Marriage 101. Just believe in him. You'd be shocked at what that guy could do if you would just show that you believe. I'm telling you, he'd probably start painting the house. If you just started believing in him. God says, if you're going to experience the new, let go of some past things. Now, next week we're going to talk about there are things you're supposed to remember and there's things you're supposed to forget. But let me move on to the second thing. If you're going to experience the new thing, this is new, then you're going to have to watch for it. We see it in Good News Translation. It says, watch for the new thing. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It is happening already. It's already happening. The new is here. He says, you can see it now. He says, I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there. He says, watch for it. That word watch means to expect it. Come on, are we living our lives expecting the new things of God? It means to pay attention. It means to actively be looking for it. It means to be ready to embrace it. It means to accept it or to yield to it. That's what it means to watch. It's not just looking. It's yielding. It's embracing. God says, watch for it. Look for it. Expect it. Why? Because it's already happening. How sad it would be to live your life and there was so much potential and so many possibilities and it was happening right in front of you, but you never seen it because you were not looking. that the Bible talks about this. I don't want to get into this, like other thing, but the Bible says we will actually give account in heaven. And for a moment, God's going to show you what you could have done, what he planned for you to do, what he expected you to do, the opportunities he had for you, the possibilities. And then he's going to show you what you did. And in that moment, the Bible says you will suffer loss. In other words, it's going to be for a moment going, darn it, you got to be kidding me. I could have been the president. And I worked at Wiener Schnitzel. Bummer. Well, why didn't I do it? Because I wasn't watching for it. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't embracing it. I wasn't yielding to it. God's trying to tell us you're going to have to make up your mind that you're not going to miss what I'm doing, that you're going to have to be determined to go after it with everything that you have got. Why? Because I'm telling you, we humans get stuck in life. Just stuck. And then I like it. God says, not only do I want you to watch for it, I'm going to actually tell you what to look for. Now, this is really helpful, and this is really the part I need us to catch. Then we're going to talk about some practical things, but this is the hot sauce of the vision teaching here. God says, not only do I need you to embrace it, not only do I need you to yield to it. Remember, this is not just about a church. It's about your life. It's about your home. It's about your marriage. It's about your children. It's about your finances. It's about your health. I need you to watch for it. I need you to look for it. I need you to be willing to embrace it. I need you to be ready to yield to it. And then he helps us by saying, now this is what I want you to look for. It's right here in the verse. It's right here in the Bible. I don't know why we don't read it. It's here. It's the new thing is right here. He said, watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. I will make, hello, a road through the wilderness. Not a racetrack in the wilderness, but a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there. Now, a wilderness or a desert in the Bible is again the same thing. And they translate to this, a dry place. A wilderness or a desert is a dry place. It's an unproductive place. It's a stuck place. It's where you get stuck. A wilderness, by definition, is a pathless place. A wilderness is a place where there. Me and Tom knows this because we go hunting all the time. We like to go to the wilderness. Why? Because going to a wilderness means there's no roads, which means there's no people, which means it's good hunting for all you hunters. The wilderness is a pathless place. It has no road. So God is saying, this is how you will know that the new thing is a God thing. You missed it. This is how you will know that the new thing is the God thing. It's going to look like a road. In the last place that you would ever expect a road. It'll look like a river in the last place that you would ever expect a river. So the new thing that God is doing is a road through your wilderness, through your messed up marriage, through your messed up family, through your messed up relationship, through your messed up finances, through your messed up sickness. And I'm going to put a road right there in that cancer. I'm going to put a road right there in that disease. I'm going to put a road right there in that poverty. I'm going to put a road right there in the messed up relationship. Why is that important? See, I'm excited because I know where we're going. Why is that important? Because a road simply means a way out. A road. If God puts a road where they've diagnosed you with cancer, It means what God is saying is, I'm going to give you a way out. If God shows you a road in your messed up finances, what he's saying is, I'm getting ready to give you a way out. If you see a road in the messed up marriage, you know what God is saying? I'm getting ready to give you a way out. I'm here to tell you, the new thing looks just like a road and rivers in that place. God says, I'm going to give you a road. I'm going to give you a way out of that pathless place. I'm going to give you a way out of that dry place. I'm going to give you a way out of that unproductive place. This is the part I feel like God is really saying. I'm going to give you a way out of that stuck place. How many of you know it's easy even for ministries to get stuck? We came here 32 years ago with fire in our eyes. Get a little bit of money, get a little bit of, you know, get some people, get comfortable, and it's just easy to get stuck and do a religious thing. And now we're not believing for blind eyes to open. We're not believing for the lame to walk. We're not believing to raise the dead. We're not believing to empty out the, we're not believing to save our city. We just become a dry, dead religious. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I wish I could get some help in here in this church. I'm talking to some radicals. I believe God has called me to raise up 7,000 who have not bowed their knees, who believe that God is who he says he is, and that the lame will walk, and the blind will see, and the dead will be raised back to life. I believe God wants miracles happening in our community, in our city, and you will not see it if you're dead and you're stuck and you're dry in a wilderness. What will God do in that wilderness? Wherever it's dry, wherever it's dead, wherever it's unproductive, wherever it's a struggle, wherever it's a mess, God says, I'll put a road right there and I'll give you a way out. In every dry place, hear me, I'm prophetically speaking, in every dry place of your life, you should be watching for a road. Three people, thank you for that. Masters golf class today. That kind of clap won't get you out. The violent take it. The violent take it. The violent take it by force. God's looking for a radical people. He's looking for a crazy people. He's looking for a passionate people. Come on, the violent take it by. I said the violent take it by force. Woo! Somebody shout yes. I didn't stay up all night to get a golf clap. Come on, I'm ready to move some things. I'm ready to possess everything that God has promised. I'm looking for some radicals. I'm looking for some believers. I'm looking for some people saying, we can take the land. It's ours. We're well able to possess it. All right. All right. Got that off my heart now. Glory to God. Come on, me and you. Come on, we'll just go at it. Going to give you a way out of that stuck place. I'm giving direction where there has been no direction. Now just pay attention here. We're almost done. How many of you know this is a special day? God says, I'm going to give direction where there's been no direction. Not only that, and this is the part that blesses me, is I'm going to put a river right there. I'm going to put something right there where the mess is. I'm going to give you a way out. But not only am I going to give you a way out, I'm going to give a river. And a river represents the source of life. It means resources. It means vitality. It means strength. Now, when you're getting as old as I'm getting, the road is good. But if you ain't got strength to get on it and start walking out, a road's not going to help you. And when you've been doing ministry for 32 years, you need more than just a road. Come on, you need some a kick in the pants. You need some. So I'm just talking to all you old folks right now. That's what I'm talking about. God's not only going to put a road right there in your mess, but he's going to give you some resources. He's going to give you some vitality. He's going to give you some strength. He's going to give you some life. You're not done yet. We've just begun. Your ladder shall be better and greater. I want the spirit of Caleb to hit this house. We are as strong today as we ever have been. I got a road and I got a river. I got some strength and I got some vitality. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, tap Grandpa over there. Tap Grandpa and say, hey, that was for you. Go ahead and tap Grandpa, your next door neighbor. Just tap Grandpa and say, that was for you. Because here's the problem. Here's the problem. Some of you are 20, but you're already old. You're just a fuddy-dud. You're an absolute fuddy-dud. Go to bed at 7 o'clock and you're a fuddy-dud. That's all you are. Let me meddle just a little bit. Let me just preach right here. Some of you have gotten so old in your head and you're still only in your 20s. Come on, get alive. Get alive. We say stupid things like this. Man, I just don't know if I could do this. I just don't. That's not the question. You can do it. Where did you ever think you could do it anyhow? You don't have to do it. God does it through you and in you. That's not the question. Here should be the question. I just don't know if I really want to pay the price to do it. That's really the question. You lazy, stupid thing, you. We ain't going to win a city with that attitude. We ain't going to win. We ain't going to take a. We ain't going to see the miracles. We ain't going to see the signs and wonders. We might as well just be called the first stuck of celebration, you know, or something. Stuck in our ways, stuck in our traditions, talking about the good old days back in 1992 when God did well. Forget all of that. Hogwash. Come on. It's time to possess. It's time to go after. I like these old words I'm using. Hogwash. Huh? Where'd I get that? Huh? Fuddy-dud? I don't know how that's translating over online. Hey, guys over there, I'm sorry. We'll clean it up. Lean over your neighbor and say, get over your old self. Get over your old self. The reason why I'm strong in this is because this is where God corrected me. Because I kept saying, God, I don't know if I could do that. I just don't know. God, I've been doing this a long time. Can I just retire like everybody else? Christians don't retire from being Christians. There's a mission and there's an assignment. And if you do that, you open yourself up to all kinds of demonic things. You should be on assignment for the kingdom business till the day you breathe your last breath. If you got a pension, you got a retirement, come on, we can staff you right here and pay you nothing but put you to work. Come on, somebody. There's a mission and there's an assignment. God, I don't know if I could do this, Lord. There's a lot of work. That's where God corrected me. He says, that's not the question. He says, really what you're saying is, I don't know if I want to pay the price to do that, Lord. That's me, Lord. Forgive me. I'm sorry, Lord. He says, if you'll receive it, I'll not only give you a robe, but I'll give you some strength to do what I've called you to do. Come on, I prophesy. Strength is coming. Some of you have been so weary, so tired, so wore out, but I'm telling you, it's a vision problem. And vitality is coming to you today. I speak strength. I speak resources. I speak help into every home, into every life here in the name of Jesus. We'll have to pick up here next week, but let me just wrap this up, and then I'm going to have my wife come up and the new thing is getting you out of your wilderness. The new thing is taking you out of your dry place. I'm going to say it again. The new thing, what's our vision? What's our word? Oh, you didn't hear? Next week, we're going to get a wristband. We're going to get product. We're going to plaster this all over the city. Oh, you didn't hear? What's going on to celebrate? Oh, you didn't hear? All you got to say is, oh, This is new. This is new. This is, and for you, what you're saying is, we're getting out of here. I'm getting out of my wilderness. I'm getting out of my dry place. I'm getting out of my unproductive place. I'm getting out of my stuck place. My marriage is coming out. My family's coming out. My relationships are coming out. My finances are as bad as they'll ever be. I'm coming out of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is new. This is new. God is saying, if you'll watch for it, if you'll expect it, yield to it, I'll get you out. This is the vision we need. It's a vision we need. Just a moment. Maybe Tavo can come. I'm going to sing that song, You've Been So Faithful. We'll transition here in just a moment. My wife's going to come up. But can you imagine... Can you make, because we have examples of people being stuck in the wilderness, needing a road, needing some water. We got a Bible. This is what's so crazy is that God's people that, you know, they've been delivered out of slavery, remember? And they spend 40 years in a place that they should only have been in their months. They end up being stuck in the wilderness. That's a picture of so many of us. We get stuck. Can you imagine? The wilderness is just the place between them and where God wants them to go. And they are taken out of bondage, out of slavery, and they're on their way. It's only at most maybe a month. And they spend 40 years wandering around, going in circles and circles. Can you imagine? Year after year. Year after year. How ridiculous. I mean, after doing it year after year, you would think everything's starting to look the same. Have you ever lived life and everything starts looking the same? Just year after year, no road out, nothing to give you strength. I mean, no doubt it's familiar. It's like they're probably saying, hey, we passed this rock before. Isn't that rock that... Yeah, we've seen that like last month and just year after year, year after year. Hey, there's those dry, dusty bones again. Didn't we go by here before? Hey, watch out for that cactus. Remember last month it really poked you really good. Just year after year wandering around. Can you imagine the day, the moment God shows up and all of a sudden they see a road? 40 years of being stuck. 40 years of a messed up life. What would a road mean in that moment? What would a river mean in that moment? And I believe that's what God is saying to us at Celebration. Hey, forget about all the old stuff. Forget about all that's gone before you. Don't cling to it. Don't hold on to it. He says, I've got something new for you, and it's going to take you out of that place where you've been stuck and wondering. It'll free you from every vice of the enemy. It's a way out. It's strength that you have not had. It's resources that you've never experienced. Can you imagine what that would be? A life-changing moment, because now you have direction. I don't know if I'm doing a good job, but I feel like that's what God is saying to Celebration. You're getting ready to get direction that you've never had. You're getting ready to get out of what you've been crying. Listen, it's not just about what the church is doing. I'm pastoring. I'm talking about your home. You're getting ready to get out of that stuck place. Coming out. God's got a road. For us who've been stuck in ordinary, stuck in routine, stuck in the daily grind, stuck in the same stuff all day, every day. Same things, same things. same old job, same old health issues, same old financial issues. It's just personal for me. It's just personal. I'm just done being stuck. I read the Bible too much, and I know the promises, and I'm saying there's more I haven't experienced. And I'm here to tell us so many of us have just embraced the stuck place, and we've learned how to just wander around with bad finances and bad health and bad marriages and bad relationships and just ordinary and just stuck and just ordinary and just ordinary until God shows up and says, hey, this is new. This is new. This is new. And what will happen if you're not careful? You don't see anything. Don't see anything, and you're just getting older and older and older and older, and then we have your funeral and you go home and God shows you what you could have done, what you could have been. There is so much more. Can I just wrap up this segment by just saying, I am so grateful. I'm so thankful for all God has done in the 32 years of this church. The lives that have been saved, thousands upon thousands. It is amazing what God has done through the history of this church. People that have been saved, the miracles that have happened. Oh, but I'm here to tell you, I'm not clinging to the past. There is more. This is new. There is more. There is a road that leads out. There are resources that will empower us to live a blessed, productive, amazing life in the future. This is the vision I want stirred into our hearts. This is the vision was stirred into our hearts for these next several weeks. The vision that God is doing a new thing, and He's doing it in you, which means you're coming out of it. You're coming out of it. You're coming out of it. Would you just stand with me again? We haven't even got to the part you want to hear, so. But without a vision, what I'm getting ready to share would fall on deaf ears. What I'm sharing is on purpose and intentional and exactly the way God said to do it. If we would come in here and talk about all the changes, I'd have half of you going, okay, that sounds good. And the other half say, well, tell us when it's all done. But now every one of you is responsible. Because if this is truly from God Almighty, then you have a part to play in it. I have a part to play in it. I want your heart so stirred that not only for this community, this vision for this community, but this vision for your lives. Your coming out of every God help me. Maybe I'm the only one that's experienced some dry things. Maybe I'm the only one that's experienced some problems. I'll tell you, you know, we've been doing this 32 years, but I'll just have to be really honest with you. The last couple years have really, can I say this? But they just suck. Well, don't get me wrong. It's been amazing. But I know what it's like to experience the favor of God, the glory of God, the beauty of God. And this whole coming out of the COVID thing, and I know we're driving, me and my wife, see, this is stuff I don't like to put out a lot, but we're just driving to church the other Sunday morning, coming here, and she looked at me and said, "I'm so glad we're moving. I'm so glad we're moving on." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because if we kept doing what we're doing, we'd be stuck and be looking the same way 10 years from now. And we didn't move here to pastor a bunch of grumpy, complacent people that don't want to take a city, don't want to win a city, don't want miracles, don't want signs, don't, come on, we're radical around here. Come on, it's revival in this community. Come on, any takers? Come on, I want to see some grandpas out there." Okay. So the vision, the burning in your heart is that I'm going to go get a tattoo today. That's how religious I am. This is new. I'm going to put it right down my neck. This is new. I'll mess with all of you. I'll just mess with all of you. This is new. Wife's going to put it right there. This is new. Glory to God. My prayer is that your heart is stirred. That every dry place in your life, from this moment forward, you are coming out. Coming out. Coming out. I'm here to tell you, Celebration, we're going to have the greatest of marriages. At Celebration, we're going to have the greatest of finances. At Celebration, we're going to be healthy. We're going to be wealthy. Come on, we're going to be strong. We're going to live to a ripe old age. Come on, with long life, He will satisfy us. We're coming out. No more dry places in our lives. Somebody shout, "We're coming out." Shout, "We're coming out." Shout, "This is new." Watch for it. What are you watching for? Look for the road. Look for the river. Hallelujah. Look for the road. Look for the river. Look for the way out. Look for the resources. God says they're right in front of you. It's already happened. But you know why we're not going to see it? Because you're so bent on living your predictable life that clings to the past. Just clings. You just enjoy looking at the shrubs. You just enjoy looking at the rocks. What God wants is some people square their shoulders and say, "I'm done wondering. I'm done going to circles. I'm coming out. There's a land that flows with milk and honey, and we're going on in. Come on. We're going in." So as I would say, "God, thank you for all the years and thank you for all the lives, and only eternity will even reveal." And can I say, Celebration, anybody that's ever given into this ministry, anybody that's ever tithed and given their resources, there's been nothing wasted if you've given it into the kingdom of God. It might have bought a light, but that's not what you gave it to. You gave it into a soul that's been saved, that'll be in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. There's no such thing as wasted money when you give it into the kingdom of Almighty God. And that's the reason why we sometimes get stuck, because we see what our money's doing and we just want to stay right there. But it served a purpose. You didn't give into a light bulb or PG&E. You gave into the thousands upon thousands upon thousands, hear me, thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lives that will be in heaven as a result of this ministry for the 32 years that God has worked through and touched humanity. Oh yeah, come on, somebody ought to celebrate that. Somebody ought to celebrate that. All right. So what in the world's happening to Celebration? Failed. You flunked. Everybody flunked. Let me try to. Okay, there we go. What in the world is happening at Celebration? When you are on your way home with your sweetheart that God's doing a new thing with, whew, glory to God. Just ask the question, "Hey, what in the world's going on at Celebration?" Your response to every why, your response to every question, Just show them the tattoo. This is them. And when I would say, God, thank you for 32 years. But I'm not done. You're not done. And the best is yet to come in Jesus' name. And you'll have the strength to do it. You'll have the resources to do it. And you'll have the road out of the wilderness in Jesus' name. Shout, this is new.
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.